T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, the beauty of baseball is you can sit next to your neighbor and have a conversation, or you can just completely ignore them.
Baseball spoken here. It's time for the second game of our radio doubleheader.
That is a reviewable play, but the Yankees choose not to review it.
A swing and a drive to deep right, away back, off the pole, Francisco Lindor.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch, a deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
It's 2-2 in the bottom of the sixth, and I just can't get my eyes off that man with the tall head.
It's quite a game, but man, that guy is ugly. You know that guy hasn't blinked this entire game? Just a dead-eyed idiot out on a Thursday afternoon.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
We're going to be awesome for you right now.
On 1080.
Hey, one for one. That's about 1,000, dude.
That's baseball, baby.
Help us, please. Somebody help us.
The Fan.
Yeah. Hey, I
remember syrup. Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you missed the first hour, you can download the Les Schwab podcast. You can find that on our Twitter feed at 1080 The Fan. Also on the 1080 The Fan website. Because that's what we do. And if you like podcasts, beers on us tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
iTunes, Google Play, 1080 The Fan, Twitter,
Gabf.
Instagram.
Gabf.
Gabf. Fourth and Gabf.
Fourth and Gabf. Well, since the National League is exciting, of course the American League's not exciting. Except for these are way better teams. So when the playoffs start, time out on that. Would you rather have everyone kind of in the middle play each other for chaos? Or do you want to see, like, and take your Yankee bias out,
okay,
Red Sox Astros? Like, do you want to see, you know, the Patriots play the Eagles? Or do you want to see, like, Kansas City Pittsburgh?
I would rather see Red Sox Astros.
You'd rather see Red Sox Astros than the potential, like, full 5-game, 7-game series in the National League? Because, like, if Rockies play the Braves, I don't know who I'm picking in that.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I'll watch them all. It's baseball. I love baseball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'll care about them all. But it's about storylines, too. And we've been following the Red Sox and Astros all year, and we knew that they'd be in the playoffs. And foregone conclusion that they would at some point likely face each other. And you kind of get that hyped up in your head a little bit.
Yeah.
And I would want to see that. I would be interested in Braves, Cardinals, or whatever the case would be.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have the same cachet as Red Sox Astros.
It wouldn't
be the same buzz. It would be different.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
That never happens, though.
No.
I feel like we never get that.
Well, but not necessarily.
It's going to be Yankees, Indians in the ALCS.
But, or like, when we got the Royals, Mets in the World Series. But it was a great series.
It was a great series.
But it wasn't, it didn't, I mean, for me it did, because Isaac and Stuke were Royals and Mets fans, and it
was kind of
it was a big buzz in the studio.
But if you cut that out.
In the studio. But yeah, if it wasn't a personal connection, I would have not had anywhere near the same intensity about it than I did that year.
Yeah.
You know? I like the World Series. I like the playoffs no matter what. But how much I care about the series changes greatly with the teams in it.
Interesting. I just thought that was a fun question to ask.
Yeah. Well, and it also depends on how your team does as well, if you're a fan. So, like, last year, as much as Dodgers-Astros was a great series and super interesting, it was really, really, really difficult for me to watch it because the Yankees lost in Game 7 to the Astros.
Yeah.
I watched it, but not in its entirety. I did not watch every game. I was just heartbroken. I was so mad about Game 7 that it affected my ability to enjoy a great series, and it was a great series with two teams who have great histories and I wanted to watch, but I was so mad.
So in no way, shape, or form would I ever doubt your love of the game or your love of the Yankees. But man, when you say that, you know everybody's just like, wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, 27, 27.
Oh, don't give me that crap.
This guy's all sad because he lost to the Astros on a team that shouldn't even been in the playoffs, that went to game seven, shouldn't even got out of the first round, could have lost in the wild card game, and I'm so mad that I'm not going to watch the World Series.
Well, don't give me that because who cares about 27 when in the moment you're in an ALCS game seven against the greatest pitching staff in the league that year.
Yeah.
And you were not supposed to be there, so you're hyped up about it.
Yeah.
Like, and you get your soul ripped out in game seven.
Like 95 and 97 were pretty brutal, but it ain't 2016.
Because the expectations are different. But,
yeah.
Like, I hate that argument. Like, oh, boo-hoo, poor Yankee fan. Like, I know the Yankees have won 27 World Series. I know that I've been alive for them winning five of them. But it's still, it's your team.
I know.
Right?
But you know how many of us out here don't have World Series in our lifetime?
Well, I know, but
you're so defensive right now.
Well, it's because I hear the argument and I understand it.
Right, right. I'm poking the bear, just to be fair.
It doesn't come from the right place.
Yeah.
Like,
because it comes from people who are just bent out of shape. They're just pissed off that their team hasn't won, and so they're like, let's take it out on this team.
Right. And to be fair, it's not like the Yankees have been winning every year recently.
True.
They've won once since 2000. So true. There's a lot of teams that have won once since 2000.
But they've been three times.
Twice.
2001.
Oh, no, three times, yeah. 2001, 2003, 2009.
Yeah.
Right. But all I'm saying is it's been one World Series win. So I understand the argument because a lot of people love to hate the Yankees, and I like to, I get it. I joke around about it too, but That shouldn't disqualify me from feeling upset about my team losing in a game seven in an ALCS.
Yeah, plus I think the way this team is constructed right now, I mean, if the Yanks are in the World Series, this has 96 written all over it.
Yeah, could
like
be.
Like, you win this, and here's your dynasty.
But
they didn't win in 97, obviously, but then 98, 99, 2000, in an 01, in an 03.
Right. The dynasty ended in 0-1, but yeah, because they went and got a bunch of big name players for no reason and then sucked after that.
It's true. You have like Giambi and A-Rod.
Yeah.
In 03.
Let's not go back to that.
Is 03 the running with the hands in Boston? Is that the A-Rod with the hands? And he like clearly slaps Arroyo's hand and he looks at the refs and he's like, no, I'm running. But he looks like a robot.
No,
doing
I think that might have been 0-4 in the series they lost, I think.
In the epic collapse?
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. Continuing to poke the bear. But
at that moment, I forgot you were a Yankee fan. I was thinking about A-Rod's misery.
And here's the thing that I will always say to people who say that. If your team, no matter the situation, is in a game seven, the impact is going to affect you.
Yeah.
And if you are a really passionate fan about your team, it's going to suck for a while. No matter what, no matter how many championships the team has,
mm-hmm.
no matter, it's going to still suck a lot.
There are,
and that's why I say, as much as I loved the matchup and the games were incredible in the World Series, I didn't have the same gusto to watch it as I would have if the Yankees, say, lost to the Indians in the ALDS. It would have faded by that point, you know?
There are few things in this world, in my existence, that I enjoy more than rain. And after game seven of the 2016 World Series, I hated rain. Absolutely hated rain. And I love rain. Like, I love rain more than probably any person I know. Anytime someone's like, you live in Portland? I'm like, yeah, it's the greatest city ever. They're like, doesn't it rain a lot? I'm like, yeah, that's why it's the greatest. You're just born and raised in the Northwest. You're used to it. But yeah, I think that speaks to what you're talking about. That it affected me so much that I started to hate one of the things I love the most.
Yep.
I think I cried.
I'm sure you did. That's okay.
That's three World Series. The Indians have made me cry. That's not true. I didn't cry in 95. 97, I cried.
I had a minor meltdown after game seven. Like where I was just so angry and crazed upset that it was like an hour of me just like pacing and venting and just melting down. And then I calmed down. But it was intense.
I wasn't able to have a meltdown after the ALDS last year because you made me sit in this chair.
I didn't make you do anything.
No, I didn't even want to come in. And then I sat here and was disappointed.
I want to see if I can find it because I think it was in the system. But what? I might have just played it off the logger.
You guys like pulled it?
Oh, we played it on primetime like the next day.
Oh, I hate you guys so much.
And then I think we replayed it once too.
Oh, God. You guys are terrible people. This is just awful. What did I ever do to you guys? I'm low man on the totem pole here.
Because it was really funny.
Wait, that's not true. I've been here longer than Nemec.
That is true, yes.
Nice. Take that, Nemec. I'm just joking. I like Nemec. But I'm not the low man anymore. Ha 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 ha.
I have to see if I can find it because.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go to break.
Okay.
And we'll come back. We'll talk about Yankees, A's, and hopefully you find it.
We'll see.
Cool. This is the Hot Corner. That's Mike Lynch behind the glass tonight, filling in for Joe. I'm Patrick Harris. This is the Hot Corner 1080 The Fan.
On 1080 The Fan.
We're failing at finding Patrick's disappointment and misery, and I think I'm okay with that. Mike is still looking, though.
Problem is our logger doesn't go back beyond 6 months, so it definitely won't be on there. And yeah. Then I don't know what I saved it as. It might even be in the system, but I have no earthly idea what the title would be.
Did you try keywords?
I did. I typed in Patrick. I typed in Harris. I typed in Indians. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Think back a year ago. What would Mike have written? If this happened now, what would I do?
Well, I could go and see if I can go into the primetime range of audio bits for those behind the scene nerds and see if I can scroll back to that point.
Whoa.
But I don't know what that would be.
Hmm. What about Les Schwab Tires podcast?
Ooh.
Could dig through Twitter.
Well, Twitter only goes back so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Then how do we dig up, like,
I don't know,
racist tweets from kids in 2012?
I have no clue, because I've, on my own Twitter timeline, scrolled down as far as I could, and then it just stops loading.
Hmm.
So I don't know how you find that stuff.
They only save them if they're racist. All right, well, we kind of teased it, and then we got a little off track, but that's okay. In the American League, everything's pretty much set. I was looking at the schedule today for the Indians. I was like, who do we finish with? Oh, right, yeah, we finished with that. Oh, it already has us against Houston scheduled Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. Ooh, game 5 could be Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm not coming in if that's the case. I'm not doing this again. So we know Indians are going to Houston. Looks like Kluber's lined up. I imagine Verlander's lined up for what will be an excellent pitching match as long as Kluber can hold his stuff together. And then we have Red Sox playing the winner of the wild card game, which we know is going to be the New York Yankees and the Oakland Athletics. We do not know where it's going to be played, but if it were today, it'd be in New York. The Yankees do have a 2-game lead on the A's. However, the Yankees are going to Boston. And wouldn't it be classic Boston to send you guys to Oakland? So it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not completely figured out, but we're close. We're close. Let's see. And Oakland finishes up with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Great.
Yay. Mike's so pumped. What if they win 3 in a row and you guys get swept?
Then we're going to Oakland.
Do you think it really matters?
Yeah.
How come?
Because
you think they're going to take the tarps off in Oakland?
No. It's more of playing at Yankee Stadium in a tough environment is tough to do. We saw the Twins kind of melt down in it last year. And not that the A's are the Twins, the A's have a little bit more experience there, but these players don't. These players don't have that much experience in the playoffs.
Who on the A's has experience?
Edwin Jackson.
Gross. don't talk to me like that, Mike.
So I really do think it's important, at least for the Yankees to get home field. I think the A's can win either place. I don't know if the Yankees can win in Oakland.
Yeah, I don't think the A's care where the game is.
No.
But I don't think they care at all.
I think the Yankees do.
Fernando Rodney's on the A's, by the way.
Playoff experience.
Blake Treinen.
So, well, at the Nationals, yeah.
It's a lot of getting lit by Dodgers.
That is true. Because of that, I think the Yankees need to get home field to win the game. And this, people have been joking with me. A lot of A's fans have been joking with me over the last couple of months, like, oh, well, A's are going to catch the Yankees, and I just kind of wrote them off. But no, it's certainly possible. And even if they don't catch them, they could win that game. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm not nervous to say that. I'm not trying to be all like cocky Yankees fan and not admit that the Yankees can lose this game. They certainly can. They're playing really bad baseball this month.
Yeah.
And the A's have not played bad baseball in 3 months.
Yeah, and they're this and the A's, they're just like the team that could. Like, why not? It sounds cliche, but they probably look at each other and they say, guys, why not us?
Yeah.
And then there's stone cold Bob Melvin over there who's just like, meh. Go play baseball.
Looking like Bob Saget.
Yeah. Meh.
The only saving grace for me as a fan, if I can put the fan hat on for a second, is the Yankees have played pretty well against the A's this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they're up, I think, 4-2 in the season series. But the A's have won some games. But it's just the fact that they've played competitive games against them. It hasn't been ugly. And that is good for all baseball fans because that could be a really good wild card game to watch. But I'm nervous, man. I'm really, really nervous about this game. Last year, I was not nervous about the Twins game. Then I got really nervous, and then I was fine based on the way it started. This reminds me, the Astros game was so unexpected.
Right, right.
2 years ago or 3 years ago.
That was all house money.
Right, because you weren't supposed to make the playoffs. This game is a team in a year that was supposed to be a World Series contender, and you're playing a one-game playoff because the team in your division has 108 wins.
Yeah.
And you're playing it against a team that is terrifying to play against in this kind of a scenario. Because if you've watched the A's, and I have over the last couple months, they just win, especially late in games.
How would you feel if this were more like, if this were the Astros or the Indians or the Red Sox in a one-game playoff?
Against
division winners, yeah. Do you think it's because it's like the unknown and the, like I said, the why not us from the A's? Or is it just because you're in a one-game ride or die?
No. I think it's a one-game ride or die. And
so
I also
be
think,
anybody.
Well, I think it also depends on how that team has been playing. Like, if the Yankees go into it and are playing the Astros, and the Astros haven't been playing well, that's a tough matchup for sure. But you feel a little bit more like, oh, well, any team can win. But the Yankees have played bad baseball the entire month of September.
Oh, I've seen it.
And the A's have not.
They have not.
And that is what scares me is I am a big believer in momentum is important going into the playoffs.
Right.
If you're just trudging along, then you're not believing in yourself as a team like the A's are. The A's are just winning and winning and winning and winning.
That's what's so funny about this because it's like, I am way more confident as an Indians fan playing the Astros than you are as a Yankee fan playing the A's.
Yeah.
Is it because I got five games, you think?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I'm ready to sweep them.
You've got five games, and the Yankees have won. And there is a part of me that is saying everyone thinks the Yankees will win that game by default, and that if they lose that, it's embarrassing.
Right.
Which it's not. But I think that's going to be the vibe from national media is, oh, look at, I can't believe the Yankees lost to Oakland. Or I'm sitting over here like, well, of course they did. Oakland's been the best team in baseball since June.
Yeah.
Like, stop not watching West Coast teams. But it's the narrative of it is just like, I don't want to deal with that, you know?
So let's dive into this game real quick. Oakland's throwing Mike Fiers tomorrow. They're throwing, or they don't play tomorrow. They're throwing Mike Fiers on Friday. They're throwing Trevor Cahill on Saturday. And they've got Brett Anderson lined up on Sunday. So that would put them with, I mean, so who starts that wild card game?
Who started for them yesterday?
I don't know. Let me look. Because, yeah, I guess it would be whoever started yesterday.
Well, or today.
Or today. Edwin Jackson started today. He's currently they're still playing. Isn't it funny that I like don't watch Mariner games? Colome got the win. Oh, sorry. That's come on. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. That well, game went to extras.
Here's my assumption. It's going to be Mike Fiers.
That's what I thought, too.
If he goes tomorrow, he'll be plenty rested by Wednesday next week.
They started Brett Anderson yesterday.
He'll go tomorrow. I mean, I think it'll be Fiers. Out of all the guys they have, he's the...
You go to the OG, the veteran.
He's the best. Well, he's not the veteran. Brett Anderson is probably the veteran. Oh, Edward Jackson is probably the veteran.
Jeez, what a bunch of old dudes. They probably look at each other like, this rotation, we going to the playoffs. They're like, hey, I believe in myself, but I'm looking around here. You guys are my teammates, and we ain't very good.
I think it would be Fiers. And that's a good choice. Fiers has been solid.
Yeah, I think Fiers or Anderson is your way to go. Gosh, if you had Sean Manea, how scary would that be?
Oh, yeah.
If it's Sean Manea and Aaron Boone makes the bonehead decision of starting Luis Severino.
Maybe Severino will come back to his Cy Young form, okay? But, yeah, and I think what also is a little bit scary about it is, like, Sean Manea is scary, but you think you can beat Mike Fiers.
Yeah.
Or whoever. Right, any right. of their starting pitchers right now, you're like, ah, we could beat them. But yet they don't lose. So in reality, you probably can't beat them. Whereas the Yankees' top starters have been extremely hittable recently.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Severino and Tanaka. And then Jay Happ's been great. But Jay Happ's pitching on Saturday.
Yeah, that's kind of the next question. So if Happ is pitching on Saturday, Sunday is TBD. Because we were talking in the break that it's most likely going to be whoever they don't choose to play that game. And so it's got to be between Tanaka and Severino, right?
I think so. Now, Boone has said those two plus Happ would be considered. Maybe Happ on 4 days rest is not the end of the world. And Happ's been really, really good since coming over from Toronto.
Yeah.
But my gut tells me he's going to go with Tanaka. Because Tanaka in big games has been really good for the Yankees. The only negative is that he gives up home runs like it's candy.
Yeah.
If he leaves anything up, it's a home run. His pitches are slow enough that if he makes a mistake, they're going to destroy the ball. Where Severino throws 99 miles an hour, so he'll make a mistake. Maybe they get a swing and the miss. So maybe that is brought into consideration as well. But Severino's been walking everybody lately. He's kind of been a little bit of a nutcase on the mound. Tanaka's cool, calm, collected. I think they're going to go with him. And I'd be curious to see. I'll check it. I'll be curious to see how Tanaka's pitched against the A's in his career, because that might even go into it too. Yeah. How have all of the starting options done against Oakland in the last year or two?
It's going to be quite interesting to see who Aaron Boone chooses to pitch that game. Nothing. That was a good joke.
It was a great joke, but I'm tired of the Cashman stuff.
I know. I keep making that joke. I should probably stop. It'll be interesting to see who the Yanks go with. I think if you're Oakland, you're probably like, we don't care who we're throwing. Let's just go win a baseball game. That game will be on Wednesday, and we'll probably hit the air. Wait, is there no coaches show next week?
No, there's not.
They might make us go at 7 o'clock next week. I think we should vote for 8 so we can go watch the game for a little bit.
I'll never want to leave.
I'll pull it up on my phone then, Mike.
Well, both Tanaka and Severino, the A's are hitting 271 and 277 in their career against them.
That's not good, man.
Well,
it's not bad.
Let's be honest. There's a couple of 1-for-2s in there. Also, there's a 6-for-11 from Jed Lowry against Luis Severino.
You know, because why not?
And then Tanaka.
I really don't like Jed Lowry.
But he's from Oregon.
So? I'm from Washington.
Tanaka. Ooh, Chris Davis is 1-for-12 with 7 Ks against Tanaka.
That looks good, but he also hits dingers.
Jed Lowry's 3-for-9 against him. Lucroy 3-for-6. It's a small sample size. It's kind of the tough thing because the A's have so much rotation with their players.
Tell you what, I'm going to root for the Yankees simply because you just reminded me that Jonathan Lucroy plays for the A's. And when Lucroy decided he didn't want to play on a World Series team appearance, he can die. So I'm rooting for the Yankees.
And the A's hit 261 against Jay Happ.
Oh, throw Happ.
Jed Lowry 6-for-19. Why is it always Lowry?
I hate Jed Lowry.
Get out of here, Lowry.
All right, when we come back, we have fair or foul to wrap up the show, or forf, as we like to call it. We'll do that next. But first, here's Mike with a sports update.
On the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
I just saw the highlights of Liverpool-Chelsea in the Cup. Whew, those are some cool goals. Do you know Liverpool plays Chelsea again on Saturday for EPL? This is just fourth round of the Cup.
Yeah, Carabao Cup, right?
Yeah, nobody cares about it. I mean, nobody really played their starters. Hazard came in late.
And I'm just watching his goal now.
Whew. Dude, he nutmegs a dude.
Yep.
Completely burns that defender and then drills it far post.
At a really
post.
Bad angle, too. Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Apparently that goal was scored. Everybody was like, Eden Hazard, best player in the PL, without a doubt. Anyway, here's Mike with fair or foul.
So I posed this to you before the show because I wanted to give you a chance to think about it.
Right.
And when I take over for Joe on these kind of shows, I like to do trivia only because, frankly, we've been giving opinions all show, so let's go trivia.
Right.
And I was looking up some sabermetric stats today.
It was quite fascinating. Breaking news, Mike Trout is amazing.
Yes, at everything. By the way, the one most random player at the top of some of the sabermetric stats, Brandon Nimmo on the Mets. How about that random dude?
Is that the answer to the question you were going to ask me?
No.
Oh, okay.
So the question I had was, I'm just looking straight war in hitters.
Right.
Hitters only. In the top 10, I'm going to exclude Mike Trout because he's amazing and the Angels suck. Every one of the players in the top 10 is on a playoff contending team except for Mike Trout. The 10th player on the list in the top 10 is not on a playoff contending team. Who is that player?
Okay. So I have some guesses.
Okay.
Obviously, I would go Joey Votto, but I don't think he's played enough.
Nope. I don't even see him in the top.
Okay.
30 or 40.
And then who is the dude that's been killing it for the Pirates that Joe stumped us on a couple weeks ago?
For the Pirates?
Yeah. Some guy that we never heard of.
Clearly didn't stick in my craw.
Okay, gotcha. Well, and that's clearly not the answer. Okay, then my other two answers is I like either Brian Anderson from the Miami Marlins.
Why is he stuck in your head?
Because, dude, he's good.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
He hits like 260, which is bad in your opinion.
He was hitting like 300
until
like August.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's why my keeper league sucks.
Probably.
I had to play him at third.
All right, so then, it's not him.
Then my real guess, I mean, this is the first name I wrote down. My real guess is Reese Hoskins.
No. The answer is you're Mitch Haniger.
Oh, dang it. I was totally going to write that down, too.
Mitch Haniger has the 10th highest WAR of hitters in Major League Baseball.
See, the thing with Mitch Haniger, this is what's so sneaky about Mitch Haniger. Mitch Haniger, when you look at his stats, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, sure, decent little ball player. And then when you get into the sabermetrics, it's like, holy S, this guy is good. You know? So it's like, you have him in our keeper league, and you're like, I think I'm going to keep Haniger. And I'm like, and then I look at his stats, I'm like, okay, loser, go for it. But yeah, when you dive into those sabermetrics, he kills it. Man. And there's Seattle, not in the playoffs.
Nope. They were in for a little while, though.
Such losers.
I'm going to go with another war question for your second one.
Cool. I like war.
We're going to the pitcher side of things now. In the top 10 pitchers of war in the Major League Baseball world of baseball worlds, number one is Aaron Nola.
Oh, really?
9.8. Number two is Jacob DeGrom, 9.2. Number three is Max Scherzer, 9.0. There's a pretty big drop off after that. But one team has three pitchers in the top 10 of war in Major League Baseball.
Ooh.
What team is that?
Three teams, or a team has three pitchers in the top 10 of war.
Correct.
Who am I? Well, I think it would be safe to maybe predict we've heard one of those teams already.
It is a playoff team, yes.
Oh, I meant of the people you said. None of those guys are playoff teams. But it is a playoff team. Top three. Oh, Houston Astros?
Nope.
Really? I mean, I don't mean to sound like a homer, but we do have four guys with over 200 strikeouts. Is it the Indians?
It is the Indians.
Duh.
You got Corey Kluber.
21-game winner.
You've got Trevor Bauer.
Ooh, I like Trevor Bauer.
And Mike Clevinger.
Mike Clev. Look at the little kid, the young kid.
Top 10.
He's our Jacob DeGrom.
And Cookie Carrasco is 22nd. So you got four in the top 22 of pitcher war.
Doesn't Mike Clev remind you of Jacob DeGrom?
Nope.
He does to me. Them long locks.
Because he used to be really bad until this year.
That is very
DeGrom
true.
DeGrom was never really bad.
That is also true.
I'm sticking with the war here because I'm fascinated by all the sabermetric stats. And I'm not 100% sure. Oh, that's position. So I can go by war by position. Instead, I thought it was just going to give me all defensive war. Give me a position that you want to be quizzed on of defensive war. What position?
Defensive war?
Yep.
I will take, for lack, just because it's, to me, the ultimate defensive position, I'll go with shortstop.
Okay. Shortstop it is. Who is the leader in defensive war in Major League Baseball at shortstop?
Okay. It's not Correa because he missed too much time.
Yep. Technically, anybody who played is on this list, but he is not it. But I'm also going in my head, like, has to have a lot of games played.
Yeah. Okay, there's some dudes I like, so let's break this down. Obviously, I like Frankie.
He is third.
He's third. Okay.
He has 0.5 war below the leader, 0.4 below the second place. They're very close to each other.
And we're just defensive.
Yep.
American League or all of baseball?
All of baseball.
Okay. I really, really like Andrelton Simmons in this situation.
You are correct.
Yes.
Andrelton Simmons has a 3.0 defensive war at shortstop. Very close second. Arizona Diamondbacks, Nick Ahmed.
Ooh.
2.9.
Can we all agree that Andrelton Simmons might be the most underrated player in baseball?
Nope.
Who is?
I don't think it's him. He's had a good hitting year this year, but he has not been a good hitter in his career. He's an incredible fielder. He always has been.
Boy, the Braves are lucky they hit with Dansby Swanson.
That is true.
Because if they had Simmons...
They also got rid of Shelby Miller in that trade, so they hit like four times.
Yeah. If they would have kept Simmons and didn't have Swanson and grabbed somebody else, wow, look out for that team.
So what did I do? Last time I did a stolen base question for you and Joe, correct? Didn't I do stolen bases when Joe was hosting that one show?
Maybe. I don't remember.
How about... Ooh. How about triples?
Triples?
Yeah.
Most triples in baseball?
Yep. And there's a guy who is up by three.
Up by three? Is it a weird dude?
Yep.
Dang it, I'm never going to get this.
Well, so narrow it. Triples.
Triples.
Think of ballparks that allow for frequent triples. There's not too many of them.
Yeah. Gosh, now I can't even think of that.
All right, let me give you a division.
Okay.
NL West.
NL West. You're hitting triples in Arizona?
Yep.
Then I like
former player in the city north of us.
Oh, is it that loser, Kettle Marte?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is he hitting this year?
He's got 12 triples. That leads the MLB.
Well, I mean, like, what's his average?
His average is .257. 12 triples, 13 home runs, 58 RBIs.
Man.
Could be worse.
And the Mariners got Mitch Haniger and Gene Segura?
Yeah.
Boy.
For Taijuan Walker. And
finally, Mariners hit on a trade.
Then there's a group of four players tied with nine. Two of them are on the same team. What team is that?
Two of them tied with nine on the same team?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the crazy part is one of those players has been hurt for a pretty big portion of the season. Cool. And he still has nine triples.
What?
Yeah.
Who's been hurt? Oh, man. I'm trying to think of, like, who's been hurt for a large portion of the season. Joey Votto, Carlos Correa.
Not a big name player, but a player that you will know. One of the best defensive players in Major League Baseball. not having a good season hitting. He's only hitting .217, but has
only
been
.217.
But has been a .300 hitter in the past.
He's not having a good season. He's having an atrocious season.
Correct.
I don't know.
The answer to my question is the Tampa Bay Rays.
So that would be like Kevin Kiermaier.
Yep.
And I'm going to go with Malik Smith.
Yep. Both have 9. The other two at 9 are two Chicagoans, Javi Baez and Yolmer Sanchez.
I am definitely snagging Malik Smith in the Keeper League next year.
I wouldn't, but you do you, boo.
I'm going to. What's he batting?
He's hitting 293.
How many stolen bases he got?
37.
Just saying.
He has 2.
How many triples he got?
9.
See, I'm just saying.
He has 2 home runs and 38 RBIs.
He does have the worst home run to plate appearance ratio in baseball.
Yeah, we were looking that up.
Yeah. Anyway,
there's
I like
foul. There's 4.
There's 4. Thank you, Mike. When we come back, we will wrap this bad boy up. This is the Hot Corner on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
.948 here. It was a good little show today.
It was.
Yeah. We didn't go off the rails. How about that, Mike?
Our first segment was off the rails a little.
It wasn't that bad.
I mean, we played like 10 seconds of The Fifth Element and talked about Beers on Us.
Yeah, but we weren't like laughing hysterically for 30 seconds straight with no content.
That did happen a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, sometimes you watch We're the Millers in the breaks. And it's really funny, and Patrick still needs to watch that movie because I reminded him again that he has not watched it.
Why'd you just assume I haven't seen it?
Because I know you.
I know. Dude, I'm in the middle.
Because you will text me when you watch it and go, dude, that was really good.
Dude, I'm in the middle of a serious battle between Triple H and Chris Jericho right now in 2000. That's where I am.
You know, it's really cool watching things you've seen before from 18 years ago when there's a movie that you like that you haven't seen yet that you could very easily find.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Yeah. I'm going to Wazoo this weekend.
Yes, you are.
I'm really excited about
it. You invited me and I cannot go, which is quite sad because it sounds very fun.
If you were on, we rented an RV. If you were on this RV, we'd get to like the Dalles and you'd be like, you guys are all crazy. You know, we're all adults now, you know, we're not that crazy, but I imagine on the RV tomorrow is going to be, or on Friday is going to be quite the enjoyment.
Well, who gets stuck driving? Because the rest are going to be getting wasted.
Right. I think my buddy Jake is taking on the challenge for us.
It's an RV for what, 6 hours or whatever the drive is?
It's 5 to 5.5 in a car. The RV might take us like 6.5 to 7.
Yeah, because you got to go a little slower.
The funny thing is
that... Take the curves a little slower.
The funny thing is that my buddy Jake, his wife is pregnant. So she's like been our built-in DD.
Mm.
But I think because Jake's renting it and it's under his name, he's got to drive it. And I'm sure Allie is probably not super down with driving a giant RV. So Jake's taking it up. And I think we're going to try to do what we did in college. Obviously, the driver did not participate, but we did the 12-pack challenge. Was from the Tri-Cities to Pullman, which is about 2 hours. Try to drink a 12-pack of Busch Light.
Like each?
Each.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And you can't stop and pee. That's the worst. It's so bad when you're like 4 miles outside of Pullman. You're just like, I'm literally going to pee my pants.
I think we've all had that feeling before. Not even doing a 12-pack challenge where you're just on a long drive and you haven't seen a rest area in a while and you're like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. You, like, straighten your body out. Your legs go awkward positions. You're driving, though, so you can't, like, you still got to focus on how your body position is. It's not fun. I can't imagine doing that on 12 beers deep.
But we're in an RV, so we'll be safe, you know, and I think there's a bathroom in the RV because you can't pull over. The rule is you can't pull over. The rule is not that you can't go to the bathroom.
Bathroom in the RV?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, and when we were younger, the rule was just you can't pull over. There was no rule saying you couldn't pee.
Yeah, look,
You ever peed in a Gatorade bottle?
Yes.
Like how many times? Like I've done it like 30 times.
Oh, twice. But that yeah, you guys are of an age now where you shouldn't do that. Just let yourself use the bathroom there. You could bring the beer in with you. It's in and out at the same time. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm quite excited.
I am very jealous, although the question I have now is, if I was human being number 9, where on earth are people sleeping if you're just going to camp out outside Martin Stadium?
Oh, I don't know. I got a buddy. I still have friends in Pullman, so I got a place to stay. Oh. That sounds like a problem for other people.
I thought you said you were going to just sleep in the RV in the parking lot.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I kind of told him, you know, I was just like, I'm the flexible dude. I got a key to my buddy's house. I can just go there and sleep on a couch. So I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, they can figure it out.
That's because I'm imagining the RV has a bed. Correct?
I bet you it has.
Or does it have one of those like stacked bunk situations?
Yeah, I bet you it has a bed. I bet you the couch turns into a bed, and it might have one of those like widow's attic, or what do they call them?
Oh, like the little thing above the driver's
seat. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a loft, essentially.
Yeah, I bet you it's sleep 6. Mm. And when we were unsure about numbers, I think we're 7. So I think I'm the small straw and I'm staying at a buddy's, which okay. I don't care.
Yeah, that's probably better than sharing a small couch bed with somebody.
Without a doubt, if one person in there snores, I will not sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody snore a little bit when they sleep?
I don't know, but if I wake up because of people's rhythm, because I'm so musically inclined, people have a rhythm when they snore, that all I can focus on is that rhythm, and then I'm awake and I can't sleep.
That sucks.
But here's the best part about going to Pullman this weekend. In 2007, my buddy Brian, who was living with me and my buddy Ryan, punched a hole
Ryan
in the
Ryan and
Ryan. Ryan and Brian. I probably shouldn't say people's last names. Ryan and Brian. Well, we had been drinking heavily, and Brian decided to punch a hole in the wall at this house we rented. And
sounds smart.
Yeah, at our house. And by the time it was time to move out, we were like, ah, crap, we got to patch this thing up. Otherwise, they're going to fine us. So what we did is we took this little box, this little wood box, and we put a bunch of random crap in it that we thought was super hilarious, shoved it in the hole, and then patched it up.
Oh, it's like a
time capsule.
Yeah.
My buddy Jake is at Home Depot today buying sheetrock, paint, all the tools needed because we are going to that house on Saturday morning, busting a hole in the wall, taking that box, patching it up, dropping a fifth of whiskey and a 30 bomb of beer on their table and walking out the door.
And whoever is in there is not who you know now.
No, in no way, shape, or form.
You're just going to knock on the door and be like,
they're probably frat kids.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, do you want this beer and a whiskey? We'll be in and out in 30 minutes. You can watch us the whole time, too.
Right. No questions asked.
No questions asked.
Are you murdering
somebody? And I'll say, hey, you guys got 20 minutes to put together a time capsule to put in this hole. We will wait. But you got 20 minutes because I got a pregame tailgate I got to get to.
What if nobody's there?
Then I know how to break into the house.
Oh, God.
The house is such garbage. Like, this house should have been condemned 20 years ago, let alone the fact that I lived there 10 years
ago.
What
if the house is gone now?
It's not. I was in Pullman in May. It's still there.
Is it still as condemned looking as usual?
Oh, without a doubt. At least these guys were smart enough to keep the blinds closed. We just left them wide open. Some dude one time threw a giant propane tank through the window because he was mad. I got hit in the face with a hammer once.
It's so college.
Dude, yeah. I lived upstairs. I had this like little living room area in my own bedroom. Oh, it was so great. One time we went to a game and my buddy Nate broke into our house and took all our furniture and shoved it into this tiny bathroom on the main floor. So when we walked in the house, we were like, oh my God, we got robbed. Like, who wants our crap? Like, that couch reeks of beer and, you know, gross evenings with the ladies. And who wants any of this stuff? We were freaking out. So I was like, well, I gotta take a pee. I'm just gonna go to the bathroom. And I couldn't get into the bathroom. He had climbed out of the window. He locked the door and climbed out of the window.
That's a great story.
Yeah, dude. Wazoo for life. Go Cougs. And we're playing Utah. I think we can do this. I think we can do this.
I'm jealous. Have fun.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. I got a great story, all that jazz. There's Mike Lynch behind the glass. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.